controversial subject, tattoos, and in our last lesson in this series of Bible Doctrines Misunderstood. So I guess it would be good to start out by quoting that verse, "Great peace have they that love God's law, and nothing shall offend them." So I hope you don't get offended by the lesson tonight, and we're not going to try to put anybody down or anything like that, but we're looking at what the Bible does say about tattoos. We live in a time, as you see there in the notes, where it says a survey in Canada found that 75% of young conservative Christians believe tattooing is a valid spiritual expression. And that gives the source there from the Love of God, the Vancouver Sun, Vancouver, British Columbia, back in February of 1999. This has been a problem for some time, but it's continually gotten worse. The tattoo place there on North Main Street, you can see a picture of a fella who is all tattooed up in his arms and is all over his body, and he's got his hands up like he's praying, like this is a godly thing to do. And there are many today. Since 1999, it's grown even more. It's just become almost an epidemic in our country, and it seems like everybody in America seems getting tattoos. Now, a lot of this lesson I took from Dressing for the Lord by David Cloud, which you can download online from www.wayoflife.org. I'd say maybe 50%, and the other 50% is my own research and study. But he had some good on it, and so I decided to pass it along to you. And is it right for Christians to get tattoos? Well, we are told sometimes it's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, where the Bible says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Well, some will use this verse and use 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that word expedient in "all things are lawful unto me," in other words, if you take that in the context of Scripture, there's no sin that we can commit if we're true believers that can cost us our salvation. But not everything is expedient. That word expedient is translated profit, be profitable, bring together, be better, or be good. Not everything is good for us, and we shouldn't be brought under the power of any. So it's kind of not really a good argument to use that verse to say that it's okay to get tattoos, and it's not okay to use "where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." If you look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. The Bible is very clear to give us warning here. Galatians 5 and verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Clear warning not to give in to the flesh. And we don't have a liberty to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're supposed to abstain from the fleshly lust that war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:16. Says this: "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." And so we are warned not to use our liberty for occasion to the flesh, to be fleshly, and not all things are not expedient, will not be brought under the power of any. So we look at this question: is it right for Christians to get tattoos? Well, first of all, we notice in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28 that the Old Testament plainly forbids tattooing. It's very clear. It says in verse 28, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Now, we get the argument from some that they say, well, God marks the body. Well, God owns the body, and he's going to give us a new name written in our forehead, that's true. But he has a right to mark us, and we'll see that that's not a valid argument for tattooing when we get on down in this lesson. Now we notice here that chapter 21, verse 5, again, says this, "They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." And a lot of the tattoo books talk about the piercing of the flesh and some of the what has to be done to insert the ink. And so it's very clear in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Romans 15:4 says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we can't divorce ourselves from the Old Testament. Now, there are some things in the Old Testament that are clearly not for us. They're taught that they're not for us today. Such, I put there in the notes the dietary laws, Romans 14:2-3, and 1 Timothy 4:1-5 teach us that we're no longer under those dietary laws. That doesn't mean that it wouldn't be good to follow some of those things because we would be eating better and it might be better for our health, but we are not under the dietary laws in the New Testament, and we are not under the Sabbath. But it would be good for us to take one day of the week to rest. That's a good principle to follow. But we notice here that Colossians 2:16 makes it clear that we're no longer under the Sabbath. We rest in Jesus Christ. And so there are some things, but there's nothing mentioned to reverse the teaching in regard to tattoos. I'm familiar with how some say that if you're going to be that strict, then you need to about the woolen garments and how the threads are put together. You need to, you're violating the Old Testament in that. But I think that's kind of stretching the point. When we have a clear writing of Scripture here that we are not to print any marks upon you, then we need to understand that. Now, marking and cutting of the flesh, number two here, has always been a pagan thing. Always been a pagan thing. If you go to Numbers chapter 33, and some would argue this point, but the facts are the facts. Numbers 33 and verse 50. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." And so they were not to have the pictures, they were to get rid of those. And if you look in the, we will not read the rest of those scriptures, but Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Under the Ten Commandments, we have this very clearly for us. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And if you're going to put those markings like some do today of different images on their flesh, it seems like to me that that might fall under that category of making these likeness of anything that is in heaven, earth, is in earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. So we notice here that the Scripture makes it very clear that it's a pagan thing. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says that we should abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2. I don't think there's anyone who would say that tattooing is a worldly thing. And the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we are to be committed to the Lord. And let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. Verse 20 to 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And then he gives the verse, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And makes that very clear. Now, I put here in the notes that tattooing is still intimately associated with idolatry, paganism, moral debauchery, and rebellion. In an article by Clay Thompson, this was in the Pacific News Service for July 27, 1996, quite a while back, was titled Pagan Fashion's New Frontier, Facial Tattoos. And we note here that the author, who in this article makes no claim to be a Christian, associates tattoos with paganism. He connects it with the new reverence for pagan beliefs, quote, new reverence for pagan beliefs, unquote. Now, a prominent book on tattooing is called Pagan Fleshworks. So it's not me that's saying that it has pagan roots. It's the people who do the tattooing in their works and what they say. Now, number three here is getting tattoos is a sign of rebellion. It's a sign of rebellion. In a July 2003 survey of more than 2,000 people in the United States, reported in the AFP for October 11th, found that among women who get tattoos, 34% feel sexier and 29% overall feel more rebellious. One woman interviewed by the Vancouver Sun admitted that she got a tattoo partly out of rebellion against the normal Christian stereotype of you can't do this and you can't do that. That's why she said she got the tattoo, because Christians say you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, there's a lot of proof of tattoos in along the line of rebellion. Not everybody now has gotten tattoos. Back in some of the days, and military guys and some of that, those tattoos weren't gotten in rebellion. And so we have to understand that, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit here. But the Latin word for tattoo, it was stigma, and the original meaning is reflected in modern dictionaries. Among the definitions, if you look it up, of stigma listed by Webster are a prick with a pointed instrument, a distinguishing mark cut into the flesh of a slave or a criminal, and a mark of disgrace or reproach. It was the first, if you go back and research it, kind of the first comings out of tattooing. It was used to mark slaves and criminals. And so I don't know if anyone's asking the question today, and when we see all these people who are getting the tattoos all over their arms and on their neck and some on their face and on their legs and all over their body, you wonder, could They need to ask the question, could my tattoos be marking me as a slave of Satan? It originally started out that way, used to mark slaves and criminals. And they, in the 1580s, to brand or tattoo came from medieval Latin stigmatizer, and from the Greek stigmatizine, and from stigmat, or stem of stigma. So that's the where they get the idea. The word for tattoo was stigma, and the original meaning. And if you stigma is a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person. So it doesn't have a good history, is what I'm saying. It just tattooing doesn't have a good history when you look it out. It comes back to falling in the line of paganism. And here's another quote. Since body art is still not mainstream, having marks on your body that you put there on purpose shows the world your rebellious and unconventional nature. And that comes by a book, The Body Art Book by Jean Chris Miller. And it's a complete illustrated guide to tattoos, piercings, and other body modifications. And that comes right from the horse's mouth, says, since body art is still not mainstream, having marks on your body that you put there on purpose shows the world your rebellious and unconventional nature. And here comes from another book, The Exotic Art of Skin Decoration. In this culture, a tattooed person is still looked at as a rebel, as someone who has very visibly stepped out of the bounds of normal society. So that's coming from them. And here's Ronald Scott, who has art, sex, and symbol. He says, unquestionably, tattoos are socially unacceptable. So it's coming from them, the stigma that's involved in it. But yet it's becoming a really acceptable thing in our society, and seems like some people just can't get enough ink. They got to have more. It seems like they're almost addicted to it. And so we need to understand that it has not a good history background comes from it. A lot of the Satanists would mark their skin with satanic symbols. It was a way of testifying that they were followers of Satan. So it gives one the feeling there, I put in the notes, that I am free to do what I want to do. I can mark my body, I'm free to do what I want to do. After all, it is my body. Well, no. If you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, then it isn't your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So notice the Bible makes it very clear here that our body is not with our own. We are bought with a price. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It seems we have come to that time where we're not really interested in what the Bible says. I can't see anything wrong with it, so I'm going to do it. But for the born-again Christian, I put here in the notes that tattooing is graffiti on someone else's temple. That's a serious thing, to defile the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn over there, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we do not have a right, we can't say it's our body, and we have a right to mark on it. Do I have a right to mark my body different than the way he who owns it gave it to me to use? No, I don't. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, we'll look at these verses. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We need to be careful that we set a good testimony before the world. Romans 14 and verse 21. Romans 14 and verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. We have a responsibility to give a good testimony. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible very clearly brings out about rebellion here and the seriousness of rebellion. I think I have a right to mark my body when it belongs to the Lord, and he says not to mark my body, then that's rebellion. And in chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And if we apply that to us, we can miss out on some great blessings if we're not willing to listen to God's word. Now, believers, before we move there, though, I want to read you about a survey. It was a very comprehensive study and analysis of tattoos. It was published in April 2001. It was performed by Dr. Timothy Roberts. He is a pediatrician at the University of Rochester Children's Hospital. The detailed analysis was taken from a study of 6,072 young people ages 11 to 21 from all over the United States, from all different ethnic groups, from all economic and social backgrounds. In other words, it was very thorough and reliable data models that were constructed for the study. In fact, this study may probably be the most comprehensive and conclusive analysis of tattoos ever conducted. Now, it's interesting that Dr. Timothy Roberts had a tattoo, and he was trying to defend it, that there was no harm in it and all. And so that's what prompted him to do this very extensive study. And here is what he found out. According to the study, today's tattooed young people are nearly four times more likely to engage in sexual intercourse, over two times more likely to experience alcohol-related problems, nearly two times more likely to use illegal drugs, over two times more likely to express violent behavior, over two times more likely to drop out of high school. And that it was a very thorough study that he did. And I know that Howard can testify, and Brother Kenny and myself, we can testify that when we do jail ministry and prison ministry, most all those people are really tattooed up. It seems that there is something associated with all this tattooing and crime. And I know Brother Wendell sees that all the time too. And it's more likely. It's a sign of rebellion. And in all this tattooing that we have today. So believers, number four here in the notes, believers are to be peculiar people and not conformed to this world. They are to be peculiar people and not conformed to this world. We read Romans 12, 1 and 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We've quoted this scripture often. And here the Bible says very clearly, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so someone might say, well, yeah, but the Lord is going to mark us when we get to the new heaven, new earth, and write the name in our foreheads. He has a right to do what he wants with his temple, but we don't, according to Scripture. We are to follow his word and do what he said. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Corinthians 7:31. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So we should use this world as not abusing it. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And James 4:4. The adulterers and adulteresses. Now he's talking here to the believers there at the church of Jerusalem and those that were scattered abroad, he says in chapter 1, that are scattered, the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting. And so he's speaking to them and he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. I believe he's talking about being the friendship of the world. If we are the children of God and we belong to him and we are a friend of the world and we involve ourselves in worldly things, then we are adulterers. If we're married, the scripture tells us that we're the bride of Christ, we're married to him, and the Jews were married to God the Father. So if we're going to involve ourselves in the world, then we are adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we are supposed to be a peculiar people. We're not supposed to go along with the trends of the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to show a godly attitude and a godly manner of life. So how should we treat fellow believers who have two tattoos. Tutus, tattoos. Romans 5:5. The Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Ephesians 4, verse 32, very clear. We're not supposed to go around to people who have tattoos among us and say, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from you. Can't be around you. You got a tattoo." No, that's not to be our attitude. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Get over there. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And so we are not to be condemning of those among us. We should not look down upon our fellow believers who have tattoos. Some were tattooed before they came to know Christ or understood how wrong it is. And although we warn believers not to be tattooed, we show the love of Christ to those among us who have tattoos. We're not going to condemn them. We don't know the situations behind how they got those tattoos. But if a person gets tattoos after they have become a believer, then they are in rebellion against the Word of God. And that's why we warn believers against it. What should I do if I have tattoos? Well, first, don't get any more. That would make sense. Don't get any more. And some people, like I said, are addicted and claim they just have to get more ink. They kind of got to get, boy, some of these people today are so tattooed up, I don't think they have any place left to tattoo. They have to tattoo on top of tattoos. Or change it around some by adding something to it. So, you're not something because you have tattoos, I put here in the notes. You're something because you're a child of God. And that's what needs to show. You should try to keep your tattoos covered as much as possible. I'm talking about someone that's all tattooed up. Some of our military guys have some tattoos that it's not an offense to me that if they wear a short sleeve shirt or whatever. That's happened back years ago, and most of them had happened before they even came to the Lord. And so we're not being judgmental in that sense, but we're trying to warn people that know the Lord that this is wrong and they should not be a part of it. So you should try, if you have them, and to keep them covered as much as possible with a true heart of repentance and confession. God does not see your tattoos. If you got tattoos and you truly go to the Lord and you repent and you ask Him to forgive you and you're really sorry that you committed that sin, then God doesn't see Him. He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll go over there and look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves." Notice that, abusers of themselves with mankind. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And again, that's where he says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And so notice that when you came to Christ, you're washed clean. And God doesn't see them. But if you cover them at church, but proudly show them outside the church. I'm talking about someone that's been tattooed up pretty heavily, and they're showing them off. But if you cover them at church, but proudly show them outside the church, then you're a hypocrite and still in rebellion against God's word. We might say, well, how can I keep them covered? Well, that's where James 1:5 comes in. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And God will show you how you can do and what you can do and some of the things that you can do to cover them up. Number 7, the bottom line is the heart. And that's the question I need to answer there. Is mine in tune with the Lord or my own selfish desires? Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so when we have an attitude, well, I love the Lord, but I'm outside the church something different, that's a hypocrite. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's what God says about his temple. Observe my ways. Psalm 78 and verses 34 to 39. Psalm 78, verses 34 to 39. I'm not trying to be judgmental tonight. I'm just trying to give you what the Bible says about tattoos. It's misunderstood in the day and time we live. Most Christian young people are saying, what's wrong with it? I don't see what's wrong with it. As long as I don't put any markings on there that are satanic. Well, you don't know. Some of the markings that you get in tattooing are satanic that Christians put on themselves, and they don't realize it. There's a lot of satanic markings, and you may be walking around with a mark of Satan on you and not even realizing it, thinking you have a mark that's Christian. It's a very dangerous thing. The 34 says here, talking about the children of Israel in their days and what they did against the Lord. Get the page to turn here. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And so notice there that they were hypocrites, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. And so that all comes down to the heart. Do we really want to serve the Lord? Do we really want to be a vessel unto honor? If we do, we're going to be careful about putting any marks on our flesh. Here's a question for thought. Will the tattoos be there when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, remember the Bible says that we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Well, he did have the marks of his spear in the side and the nail marks in his hands and feet. But I'll give you my opinion in the matter. I think that we're going to get a glorified body, a new body. Those markings won't be there. But if we were wearing them in rebellion to God's word, then I think that we will give account of it at the judgment seat of Christ. If we'd never truly repented of it and asked the Lord for forgiveness, then I think that we will give account at the judgment seat of Christ, and it'll cost us rewards that we could have gotten. So that's my take on tattoos, and some of this was from David Cloud, also in his book Dressing for the Lord, which I would recommend that you read that. It's a good book, and a lot of good things in there. But he does cover tattoos in the book, and I took some of his material and put my own material with it. But I think tattoos are wrong. I think we shouldn't get them. I think the Bible speaks against it very clearly. And it is a sign of rebellion in our day, very clear sign of rebellion, and paganism as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to think about tattoos, and that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we need to be very careful how we treat our bodies, how we take care of ourselves, because we are to be vessels unto honor and meet for the Master's use. Just help us to see the things we need to see. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.